Okay, let's go. We've been talking about various and sundry topics in davening, and tonight I'd like to speak with you about Psukei Dezimra. We know what Psukei Dezimra is. It's the beginning of davening after the brachos and after the karbonos. So we say Baruch Sha'amar. If you daven the Ashkenaz, you say Baruch Sha'amar first, followed by Hodu, followed by Yehi Chavod, and then Ashrei, and then the Halalukas, then by Baruch Dov, and then Yishtabach. That is called Psukei Dezimra.
So,
we didn't even say anything yet. So Mizmor Shir is interesting. Mizmor Shir doesn't seem to really be part of Psukei Dezimra. We're assuming Psukei Dezimra begins with Baruch Sha'amar. Mizmor Shir is recited before that. Why that happens is interesting, and maybe we'll comment on that a little bit later. But for the time being, Psukei Dezimra is Baruch Sha'amar and on. Now, the Gemara mentions Psukei Dezimra in one place only. The Gemara never mentions the bracha of Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach. It does not exist in Talmudic literature. Now, what's the one place where Psukei Dezimra is mentioned? Says the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yud Ches. The Gemara says, "Amar Reb Yosi, Yehei Chelki Migomrei Halel B'chol Yom." Reb Yosi says that my portion should be among those who finish Halel every day. In other words, I also Ich Vil Eichet Zu Zayin A Halel Zager. Right? If you don't say it in Yiddish, like no one understands. I also want to be someone who says Hallel every day. Brek the Gemara, v'ha'amar mar, ha'korei Hallel b'chol yom, ha'reza mich'areif u'migadeif. Don't we know that if you say Hallel every day, you are not a good person, you are what we call a blasphemer. If you recite Hallel every day, you are a blasphemer. You are in violation of blasphemy. That is very, very bad. Now, we have to figure out why that would be true. But the guy says, don't say Hallel every day. So, Reb Yossi, why do you want to say Hallel every day? It's like bad. Zok the Gemara, Kika Aminon, when did Reb Yossi say that you're one to say Hallel every day? He's talking about Psukei Dezimra. He's not talking about regular Hallel. He's talking about Psukei Dezimra. That is the only source in Talmudic literature, the only source in Shas for Psukei Dezimra. This is it. Now, this Gemara is very troubling on a certain level, because, first of all, what's the blasphemy involved in saying Hallel every day? Right? Isn't praise of God a good thing? Why would saying Hallel every day be a bad thing? And if it is a bad thing, how come Psukei Dezimra itself is not a violation of it? So that's the question that we want to begin with. Now, there are a few approaches that we could take over here. One approach is Hallel, when we praise God, why do we praise God? So standard Hallel is that we say it, let's say, on Pesach, and we praise God for splitting the Red Sea. That's what we call big miracles, no? Big miracles give Hallel. Says the Gemara, if you say Hallel every day, it's mecharef u'megadef. That's blasphemy. Why? Because by finding a miracle every day to say Hallel about, that means that you are denying that nature itself is miraculous. In other words, if I'm only saying praise every day for the splendid, extraordinary things, that means that I recognize these great things, but I don't recognize the smaller miracles. The Ramban tells us in Parshas Bo that Judaism's belief is that large miracles are there in order to highlight that the small miracles, the daily miracles, are also important. The very fact that we breathe oxygen and we survive. The very fact that grass grows, the very fact that gravity pulls, all these things are also, they also show God's hand, no?
Is that why we say hallel every day?
So say, if we say hallel every day, we say the gigundous hallel every day, that means that I'm finding big miracles every day. But that's not my goal. My goal is that I should occasionally find a big miracle, and that will reveal God's hand in the world, and based on that, I will notice a daily the daily miracles, which is the fiber of existence. So Psukei Dezimra are about daily, ordinary miracles. It's about Teva, not about Chutzla Teva. And that's precisely, and this explanation is given by the Mashach Chachma at the beginning of Parashas Bechukosai. Others give this explanation also. The point in Psukei Dezimra is to recognize that nature is miraculous. By the way, this is very different than other faiths, no? Other faith communities believe that we recognize God through the miraculous, and that is the height of existence. For us, the miraculous, I mean like the supernatural, for us the supernatural is not the be-all and end-all. The supernatural is a way to recognize that the natural is also God's hand. Hamechadish b'tuvah b'chol yom tameh maaseh bereishis means that we are supposed to recognize the daily small miracles. What's his name? C.S. Lewis has a book called On Miracles, no?
It's called Miracles.
Thank you. Right? Now, for Christians, miracles are really important to their faith. For Jews, it's not. Right, Zok the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Moshe Rabbeinu lo ha'eminu bo Yisrael mitnei ha'osos. Right, Moses, who is the pillar of Yiddishkeit. Right, we don't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because he did miracles, but rather we believe him because we were there. We heard God speak to Moshe. That's right. It's not because of the splitting of the sea, etc. Our faith is not based on miracles. If you believe in miracles, says the Rambam, there's always some dofi. There's always some disbelief that's thrown in. Right.
So that seems in contradiction
with what you said. Well, that one miracle of Kriyas Yamsas, yeah, they believed in God after that miracle of Kriyas Yamsas, that's true, but that's not the end. The end is to recognize God on a daily basis. And that is why Psukei Dezimra is such an important thing, because that Psukei Dezimra is here to teach me that nature itself is as much of a force of revelation as supernatural occurrences. That's really the point that we're getting at. So that's one approach. Okay, so approach number one, by the way, Rashi understands that Mecharef u'migadef. I'm not sure if Rashi is saying exactly approach number one or not, but approach number one is saying that if I say a supernatural hallel all the time, that is blasphemous. Now, Rashi in Shabbos writes something that's worth focusing on. Let's read these Rashis together. Harez ha-mecharef u-migadef, zok Rashi, she-nevim ha-rishonim tiknu lomar bar-prakim l'sherech v'hodaya, that the early Nevi'im institute saying hallel on certain occasions to praise God, like we say in Arve Psachim. And if I say hallel, v'zeh ha'korah tam'id, below ita, if I say hallel not at its proper time, eino ela kemezamer shir u'mishotzeitz. I'm just like someone who's singing a frivolous tune. Because I'm supposed to say hallel only on set occasions. Now, I saw in this sefer, the Ar Avram, Rabbi Avram Gervitz. If I'm not mistaken, he just passed away this year or something. So he has a nice sefer, essays like on Maseches Brachos. So I read his essay about Psukei Dezimra. It's Simon Ayin in the Sefer, the 70th piece in Sefer Ar Avram, and his argument is as follows. The Gemara in Brachas talks about someone who went up to daven for the Amor, and he got all into it. Now, he's like getting neo-Hasidic on us. And he starts saying, HaKel HaGadol HaGibar HaIzus HaNora HaAwesome, the holiest of the holy, the deepest of the deep, the most amazing of the most amazing. And he's praising and praising. It sounds like something out of Reb Shlomo, right? He keeps on going and keeps on going. And the Gemara says, Siyamto L'Shvacha Demarach. Like, you finished praising God. You're done? Zok the Gemara, we can only say HaKel HaGadol HaGibar VaHanora because those praises we were told to say. But we can't just go and add on stuff on our own. So Rabbi Gervitz maintains that maybe that's the idea that Rashi is getting at over here in this Gemara. I'm allowed to praise God only when I have to praise God. Ordinarily speaking, it's presumptuous for mortal man and woman to go and to try to praise God. Right? That's not something that we can do ordinarily, no?
The Jew says every second word is Baruch Hashem.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, Rabbi Wurzburg used to say that's the Jewish Fifth Amendment. But the fact is, we don't have license to just praise God all the time. What gives us the license to praise God is that we have an obligation to do so. And in the absence of that obligation, I don't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As such, maybe that's the pshat in this Gemara. It's mecharef u'megadef, it's blasphemous. Because you're trying to develop your own praise of God, that means that you're trying to say all that God is. Oh, you're trying to say all that God is? You're never going to get there. That's blasphemy. That's his explanation. I think that explanation is interesting. It's worth thinking about. So this is point one that we want to mention. Only source in the Gemara. By the way, what does Psukei Dezimra mean?
Verses of praise.
Verses of praise. Verses as opposed to chapters, no? Tegat Sidurim. Most of our Psukei Dezimra, is it verses of praise or chapters of praise? Are there any parts of Psukei Dezimra that are verses? So there is. Yehi Chavod. Yehi Chavod Hashem Lo'olam Yismach Hashem Ma'asav is a conglomeration of various psukim. It is not a full chapter in Tehillim. Everything else that we have in Psukei Dezimra, by the way, are chapters of Tehillim, with the exception of Hodu, which is not a chapter of Tehillim, but a chapter in, or a few chapters in Divrei Hayomim. But the psukim that are said in Hodu are very similar to psukim that are found in Tehillim Kuf Hei. Right? So most of Psukei Dezimra are not really Psukei Dezimra. This I think we have to leave as an unresolved question. The text of the Gemara is its Psukei Dezimra. If it would be up to me, I would call it Prakei Dezimra, not Psukei Dezimra.
What's the exact it's, difference?
The difference between verses and chapters. We are saying chapters of praise rather than verses of praise. And presumably we should call it therefore prakim rather than psukim. So far so good? Now, what exactly is Psukei Dezimra? So there is a striking Rashi over here. Look at this Rashi in Shabbos. What are the Psukei Dezimra? What does Rashi say? They are two chapters of Hallel. Hallelu as Hashem min HaShamayim and Hallelu Kel B'Kodsho. Okay, if you take out your Sidurim, there are five Hallelugas. Yeah, let's go like this. You take out Sidurim. Page 66 in the Aretz Groh is Ashrei. Page 70 is the first Halleluka and the second Halleluka. Right? Halleluy Nafshi as Hashem, I will praise God. Then the second one is sing to God, Ki Na'im Navati Hila, because praise is pleasant and befitting of God, beautiful. Then Rashi is telling me that Psukei Dezimra is what we would call Hallelukas number 3 and 5. You see that? It is the Hallelukah of Hallelujah Es Hashem Min Hashamayim. That's Hallelukah number 3, Tehillim Kuf Mem Ches, on page 72. And Hallelukah number 5. Now, why the heck would Rashi only talk about Hallelukah number 3 and number 5? What about Ashrei? What about numbers 1, 2, and 4? Why is Rashi only saying 3 and 5?
They're all inclusive.
They're all inclusive. In other words,
and then the heavenly creatures, and then in the concluding chapter.
Okay, so that's one possibility. It's all inclusive, but there's even more. Hallelujah number 2, let's say, has Hallelujah number 2 speaks about nature, but it speaks about nature in a very strong and austere sort of way. Right? God makes, so you can read it in English, God makes snow like fleece, he scatters frost like ashes, he hurls ice like crumbs, before his cold, who can stand? Right? It's frightening, no? It's nature, but it's the type of nature that's like really scary. It's not reassuring nature. Hallelujah number 3, however, the Hallelujah that Rashi mentions as being the real Psukei Dezimra, is just normal nature. It's the heavens, it's the angels, no? Mountains, all hills, fruitful trees, all cedars, beasts, cattle, crawling things, winged fowl. These are should all praise God. Effectively, Hallelujah number 3 is about nature. And Hallelujah number 5 tells us how we praise God. Use instrumentation. That's Hallelujah number 5. Rashi, in order to get at this idea that we mentioned, that Psukei Dezimra is about nature, as opposed to supernatural occurrences, Rashi chooses those Hallelujahs which are the most natural. That's the next point that we wanted to make. Now, point number 1.5 or number 2 that we'll talk about quickly is Rashi is against the Rif. The Rif, when he defines what Psukei Dezimra is, we'll read the Rif in a few minutes maybe, I underlined a little bit of it, but the Rif says that Psukei Dezimra is Ashrei and all the Hallelujahs. And the difference being Ashrei and difference being Hallelujahs number 1, 2, and 4. Rashi is saying Psukei Dezimra is Hallelujahs number 3 and 5. The Rif is saying Psukei Dezimra is Ashrei and 1 through 5.
Does that mean they didn't include them, or does that mean they just didn't include most Psukei Dezimra? I mean, was that part of their Nusach?
I don't know. Again, I don't know if Rashi did not say Hallelujahs 1, 2, and 4. My guess would be that Rashi probably said it, but Rashi would say that that's not the crux of what Psukei Dezimra is. The crux of Psukei Dezimra for Rashi is Hallelujahs 3 and 5.
Last week you mentioned, was it Nora going? Which going was Misak in the Siddur?
So Rav Nachshon Noy going, and then Rav Amram
so
going.
So what's in his Siddur?
So in the Siddur, Rav Amram going, and in the Siddur Rav Nachshon Noy, you're not going to have it, because Rav Nachshon Noy just tells me what the 100 brachos are. But in the Siddur for Amram Gon, you have all the Hallelujahs. You have Ashrei and all the Hallelujahs.
All
5. Yeah, the same as we have it. He followed the Rif.
It's
more like the Rif. Now, again, I don't know that Rashi didn't have all 5 Hallelujahs, but Rashi is saying that that's not the crux. Now, why is this important? This is important. I don't know if any of you know this. But sometimes, Rahmana Latzlan, according to terrible, terrible, terrible situations, sometimes people come late to davening. And you come late to davening, chas v'chalila, you have to make a decision about which parts of triage?
Triage.
Which parts of Psukei Dezimra do you say? So we know the bare minimum Psukei Dezimra is what? Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei Yishtavat. Right? This is a halacha guaranteed. Most people know this one, right? How much can you skip? Bare minimum Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei Yishtavat. According to Rashi, that ain't true. Because according to Rashi, Ashrei is not the crux of what Psukei Dezimra is. The crux of Psukei Dezimra is Baruch Sha'amar, probably Halalukas 3 and 5, and then Yishtavach. Not Ashrei. So far, so good? So there's a halachic machlokas here between Rashi and the Rif. That's the next point. Third point, fourth point, whichever number we're up to. We have so far one Gemara in Shas that mentions Psukei Dezimra. Then there's another Gemara that does not mention Psukei Dezimra by name, but is used by the Rif as the source of Psukei Dezimra. The Gemara in Brachas Lamed Beis, Darash Reb Simloi, Le'olam Yisader Adam Shvacho Shakadosh Baruch Hu V'achar Kach Yispalel. First praise God and then daven. We learn that from Moshe. Moshe says, "Va'eschan an Hashem, I daven." And first he began by praising God, right? Hashem Elokim Atay Chelos Arusas Avduchas God Luchas Yodcha Chazoka, praises God, and then Ksiv Basrei, let me enter Eretz Yisrael. So you praise God and then you daven. Zok the Rif, praising God and then davening, praising God and then asking for what I need, is the rationale behind Psukei Dezimra. Because it is presumptuous to just walk in and say, give me. But I say, you know, you're a really wonderful person. Again, l'havdol, right?
You're wonderful.
Right? You're wonderful, you're amazing, you're great. By the way, give me, right? That's the way it works. Zok the Rif, the Gemara in Brachos that speaks about Yisade Adam Shvacho V'achakach Yispalel is the source of Psukei Dezimra. Good? Now, in the Rif's sources of Psukei Dezimra, he first quotes this, then he quotes saying Ashrei, etc., and he says that all of Psukei Dezimra is Ashrei. Rashi, for some reason, when he, and I probably should have printed this up, Rashi in Avodah Zarah and Daf Zayin, where this Gemara appears, of Yisad Adam Shvacha V'Akach Yispalel, it also appears in Avodah Zarah. We give it to you from Brachas. But in Avodah Zarah Zayin, the Gemara also appears. Rashi says, you know what that Gemara refers to? Not Psukei Dezimra, says Rashi, but when I daven Shemoneh Esrei, right, I begin. Elokei Yenu, Elokei Avosei Yenu, Elokei Avraham. Right, and then I say, God is Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. First, I praise Hashem, then I ask. It's within the Shemoneh Esrei, according to Rashi, but it's not about Psukei Dezimra. Now, one of the big issues that comes up, just to jump the boat a teeny bit, is as follows. We said that Psukei Dezimra begins Baruch Sha'amar and it finishes Yishtabach, and there's some stuff in the middle, a little bit of a dispute between Rashi and the Rif, what's the core of what is at the middle, but presumably they both agreed in terms of the text. We also noted that nowhere in the Gemara do you have the text of Baruch Sha'amar or Yishtabach. Now we got a problem. The problem is that, generally speaking, we do not recite brachos that are not found in the Gemara, no? The Rush tells me in Kiddushin that when they would do a Pidyon HaBen, there used to be a text that the Kohen, the priest, we did a Pidyon HaBen in this room once, remember this?
Yeah.
Right? So there, at the end of the Pidyon HaBen, there's a little text about... There was a little text that the Kohen would say at the end of the Pidyon HaBen that was recited at one point in time in Jewish history with a bracha, but we don't make a bracha anymore. Why don't we make a bracha? The Rush tells me in Kiddushin, because we don't make brachos that are not found in Shas. But yet, I don't know anyone who does not make Baruch She'amar or Yishtavach. No?
Maybe the bracha is Balanchas.
Well, the Rosh is giving us a principle that we don't make brachas that are not Balanchas. That would imply that any bracha that we make is Balanchas. Now, there are some questions. The bracha of Hanosim La'yo'if Koach, we mentioned last week, is not found in Shas, yet we do make it. Although, if you look in the book Nefesh HaRav, Rav Salvechik did not say Hanosim La'yo'if Koach. No? But even the Sephardic Siddurim, I think you have it. Sephardim are generally more machmer on this issue. We, Ashkenazim, do make some brachas that are not found in Shas. Today, for example, most of us said Halal with a bracha, correct? I didn't also.
Oh, you know?
I don't. But most Ashkenazim say Halal with a bracha on Rosh Chodesh.
Why don't
we? Because it's not found in Shas to make Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Right, Halal on Rosh Chodesh is a minhag, and we don't make brachos on minhagim.
Is that your personal, or is that from
Vilna? Well, that's based on the Alter Rebbe of Chabad.
Chabad doesn't make a
brach on Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Well, I should say it like this. Chabad follows the opinion in Taisvis that only the Baal Tefila makes the brach, and everyone else says Amen.
Chanukah is in Shas.
Shas, yeah, the Gemara speaks about.
Is it not like Hanukkah? We just have the bracha.
Yeah, so it's not really in Shas in that sense, but there is kind of an elastic clause. The Gemara says that all mitzvahs you make a bracha on them over Lasi Yasam. Whenever I do a mitzvah. Now, these brachos of Baruch Shem Yishtarach are not brachos on a mitzvah per se, so therefore it's harder to make a bracha that's not found in Shas. Yet we do make this bracha of Baruch She'amar, and this is a great mystery. And in fact, the Magen Avraham in one place writes that Baruch She'amar is not found in Shas, and therefore it's more lenient than most brachas. The Magen Avraham says, even though usually I should not say Amen in middle of one bracha, when I hear you make a different bracha, but Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach are not found in Shas, if you want to say Amen in the middle of the bracha, be my guest. Yeah.
Okay. And what does the Rosh do to reconcile his two statements?
Good kasha. Excellent question. The Pri Chodesh asks the kasha. The Pri Chodesh says, the Rosh himself says, you don't make brachas that are not found in Shas, yet Baruch She'amar, the Rosh said. Stira. Question. Problem. There's a few other problems. The Taz, in Evan Ezra, Simon Samach Gimel talks about this a little bit. There is a whole literature about this question. Now, this led a great going, the Mishkanus Yaakov. Mishkanus Yaakov is Reb Yaakov of Karlen. We mentioned how he had like the worst job in the world because he was the Litvisha Rav of the town of Karlen, which was Chassidic heaven. No? And the Mishkanus Yaakov in the Tshuva, the Mishkanus Yaakov actually is probably the paradigmatic Litvisha Posek. Now, when I talk about paradigmatic Litvisha Posek, I'm talking about Litvaks the way they used to be. You have to remember, the source of Litvisha learning was a yeshiva called Valozhin. No? Valozhin is... Now, the first years in Valozhin, Rebbe Chaim of Valozhin was there, when the students of the Vilna Gaon are betokvo. What was the course of study in Valozhin? So they learned Gemara, but they didn't learn only a few yeshivish masechtos. They started in Brachos and went straight through Nida. They went straight through Shas. And Reb Chaim Valozhin also set a shiur in Kabbalah. Kabbalah, the study of Zohar, was part of the traditional Litvisha corpus of study.
Yes.
And only when the Hasidim began to popularize it and teach it to the Hamon Am, did the Litvaks go backwards and move away from the study of Kabbalah. Okay? But in the early days of Valozhin, Kabbalah is part of the corpus. In fact, in Shaul Stempfer's book about the history of the Lithuanian yeshivas, Stempfer points out that Reb Chaim Valozhin at one point made a rule that you can't come to my Kabbalah shir unless you also come to my Gemara shir. Because everyone wanted to learn Kabbalah, no one wanted to learn Gemara. Right? Now, the Mishnas Yaakov, in his tshuva, he tries to argue that Psukei de Zimra is Talmudic. Not only is it Talmudic, it comes from Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, those who instituted the original prayers, also put together Psukei de Zimra, including Baruch Shaman Yishtabach. And he says this because if this is wrong, so then you can't make the brachas, because we don't make post-Talmudic blessings. And what's his source that it is Talmudic? Or that's from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, even more Talmudic? Well, he says, first of all, Zok Mishnas Yaakov, I have a Zohar. Right? Now this is fascinating. In other words, he's using the Zohar as a halakhic source to say that Psukei de Zimra comes from, this is a Zohar in Parshas Vayakel, that the Zohar, Parshas Truma, says, Askinu Anshei Knesset HaGedolah Sidura Detush B'chon DeDavid. Anshei Knesset HaGedolah instituted the sequence of the praise of David HaMelech. So what we see is, according to Mishkas Yaakov, this is from Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. He also tries to show that the Rambams that we have at the bottom of the page also hold that Psukei de Zimra, including Baruch Shamar, was part of the takana of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. You see, there is a halacha that you have to make 100 brachos every day. And the Rishonim all speak about which brachos are included in these 100 brachos every day. The Rambam tells me a list of 100 brachos, including Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. And he says, and later on, when they instituted the 19th bracha in Shemona Esrei, V'lama Oshinim, so then we have another bracha. It sounds like 100 brachos existed beforehand with Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. Sound that Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach is before V'lama Oshinim. V'lama Oshinim is instituted by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Right? Shimon Apakuli, etc., whatever it is. So you get an impression that Barsha Amar and Yishtabach is also. Now, if I go back to the original source, though, in the Gemara in Shabbos, Rabbi Yossi comes, and Rabbi Yossi says, I should get reward, like those people who say Halal every day. By that he meant, like, Psukei de Zimra. But doesn't that imply that people weren't saying Psukei de Zimra at the time of Rabbi Yossi? The Mishkas Yaakov asks on this of the Siman Samach Zayin, the Mishkas Yaakov. He asks himself, doesn't that imply that people were not saying it? Right? Yehei Chelki, I should get reward. That sounds like no one else said it. Zok the Mishkas Yaakov, no. Right? No. Because if you go through that Gemara, there's a lot of stuff that people are saying I should get reward for, even though everyone is supposed to do it. The Gemara is in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches. Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches is about Shalosh Shudas. You know, like with herring and kichel. So it says that I should get reward like those people eat shalashudas. Hello? Doesn't everyone have to eat shalashudas? We learned it from the Mun. Like, what's going on? The answer is, yeah, everyone should do it, but not everyone was careful about it. So what Rabbi Yossi is saying is that I want to get reward like those who are careful about it. That's the basic idea that the Mishnas Yaakov has. Now the Mishnas Yaakov, once he proves that Psukei de Zimra is Talmudic, and I would say even before Talmudic, it is Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, it's fundamental to prayer. So therefore he argues on Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, I probably should have printed this up, but I didn't, in Siman Nun Beis. Shulchan Aruch says, if I come late to davening, and they are, let's say, up to Yotzer Ur, and I know if I'm going to say Psukei de Zimra, I'm going to miss Shemona Esrei with the Tzibur, says Shulchan Aruch, skip all of Psukei de Zimra, skip the whole thing, and you'll say it after davening. Skip the whole kit and caboodle. Comes on Mishnas Yaakov, says you can't do that. Because once Psukei de Zimra is a takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, you can't skip the whole thing. Now, it happens that in the Torah, on the back of the page, the Torah points out that there was a machlokas between Rebbe Nachshon and the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rebbe Nachshon says, if you come late to davening, you can't skip all of Psukei de Zimra. You have to say Psukei de Zimra. Rabbeinu Yonah says you could skip the whole thing. The Mishnas Yaakov has a problem based on the way he puts the Shulchan Aruch together, that it sounds like Shulchan Aruch in one place holds like the Rabbeinu Yonah, that you can skip all of Psukei de Zimra. Another place sounds like Yosef Rebbe Nachshon. That's his problem. He assumes, like, throw out the whole Shulchan Aruch, that you can never skip Psukei de Zimra. But the basic point that he's getting at is that Psukei de Zimra is part of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah Sakana. It's fundamental to davening, no?
Yeah, but
There's some communities where the practice is that the Baal Tefillah doesn't go up until Shulchan Arukh or something. That there's no one up there right at the beginning of Dan. No one's up there for Psukei Dezimra. That's probably wrong according to the Mishkanes Yaakov. Because if Psukei Dezimra is part of Anshei Knesset HaGedola, so it's fundamental to davening. We're probably not allowed to quote the person who wrote it, so we won't quote him by name. But one of the big issues that came up in the conversations about partnership minyanim is that people are saying, oh, women can lead those parts of davening which are less essential. Right? And women can lead for the tzibur psukei dezimra. That was one of the arguments that was made for partnership minyanim. Those who argued against partnership minyanim, again, it's a very old argument. It's all in the Mishnah's Yaakov. They're saying that no, psukei dezimra is not some later institution. Right? In other words, maybe Kabbalah, we know Kabbalah Shas is a later institution. But psukei dezimra, that's fundamental to davening. It's part of the tikkun of Anshei Knesset HaGedola, like the Mishkanes Yaakov is saying. That is part of the issue over here. Now, there's a lot more to say about this topic, but just one last point I want to make is as follows. The Rishonim who speak about psukei dezimra go in two directions. We noted that according to the Rif, one of the sources of psukei dezimra is that first you praise God, then you ask for your needs. Yisadav mshvacho, achachak yisbalo, brachastav, lamed beis. Right, that's what we said from the Rif. Very nice, beautiful, gotcha. Now, another possible source is the Gemara in Shabbos. You should just praise God for nature every day. Effectively. Now, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, you don't have to say Psukei Dezimra before davening. And that would be more like the Rabbeinu Yonah and like the Shulchan Aruch. That if I come late to Shul, I could skip Psukei Dezimra and then say it after davening. Why? Because there's a goal just to praise God for nature every day. At the end of davening, I'll praise God for nature. That's what the Rabbeinu Yonah says. Reb Nachshonai, who says that Psukei Dezimra has to come before davening, he says that the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Brachos kind of come together, and they teach us one idea, which is, yes, praise God for nature, but do so before davening. Right? In other words, it's not two separate obligations, it's one single obligation, that the praise has to be before davening. Now, yeah. So Posei Chasidecha, in fact, we assume is the most essential part of Psukei Dezimra. It says that if you don't have Kavona Posei Chasidecha, you have to say it again with Kavona after. But Posei Chasidecha is interesting. I don't know if it's a Bakasha or if it's a praise of God. God, Posei Chasidecha, you always open your hand and you sustain. It's descriptive. Right, we're not saying God tiftach es yodcha, right? We're saying poseach. God always does it. I should have kavana because that's the essential part of Psukei Dezimra. But now, this issue, by the way, is relevant for Shulchan Aruch also. Again, this last point is from Reb Avram Gurvitz as well. He says as follows: some Rishonim say, "Don't talk between Barsha Amar and Yishtabach." Others in Rishonim have a text, don't talk between the beginning of Baruch Sha'amar and after Shemona Esrei. Right? Some say don't talk between Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach. Others say don't talk between Baruch Sha'amar and after Shemona Esrei.
The boys say Sikhe Yofa B'Sha'as Tefillah right before Baruch
Sha'amar. Right. They say right before, and they probably don't say anything between Yishtabach and. You're not supposed to talk in Mel Birkas Kriya Shema. The question is, am I allowed to talk between Yishtabach and Yotzer? Now, there is a line that many quote from a Yerushalmi. They quote that Hamish Hasach ben Yishtabach le Yotzer, Averehu biyodo, v'chose me arche mochama. They used to go back from the war if you do it. Many people point out that there is no such Yerushalmi in our Talmud Yerushalmi. The Rif quotes it in one place, that the Yerushalmi says if you talk between Yishtabach and Yotzer, you have to return from war. Now that means that the Rif felt it was a Yerushalmi, but we don't have it. What?
Because
a soldier who does Averis is not allowed to go and fight. If you talk during davening, Right? You talk during davening, you don't go to fight.
Oh, a good way to get out of the army.
But that was the famous Purim Shmuel they did in Valozhin one year, which is that they decided to say, right, we're going to have a Jewish army go and fight, and who's going to be the Jewish army? The two Rashi Yeshiva, the only people. Because the Gemara says, if you do any Averis, you don't go to war, no? Oh, that's awesome. Right? I am completely ineligible.
Better than Asma.
But the fact is, if you hold... Now, just one aside. So, the Rishon quote from this Yerushalmi that if you talk between Yishtabach and Yotzer Ar, that you don't go to war, that means that they felt that there is a Yerushalmi. We don't have the Yerushalmi. Now, what this means exactly, the scholars will talk about Aptowitzer. Avigdor Aptowitzer wrote notes on the Rav Yah. He assumed that there was another book at the time period of the Rishonim called the Sefer HaYerushalmi, and when they quote these phantom Yerushalmis that we don't have, it all comes from that text. And recently, Reb Sraya Dablitsky's son came out with a new edition of the Rav Yah. And in that new edition of the Rav Yah, he says that afterwards his entire theory is wrong. He pulled it out of his ear. It's not a real theory. Okay, great. Then more recently, or less recently, I'm not sure exactly what came first, in the journal Sinai, Yaakov Zussman, who's one of the few scholars of Chaim Soloveitchik actually likes, Yaakov Zussman... said that he found a manuscript of a text in a library somewhere that has all of these Yerushalmis that don't exist. Meaning, Aptowitzer's assumption that there's a book out there that the Rishonim felt was a Yerushalmi, and they called it the Yerushalmi, but Zussman found it! The book exists! So, fine. That's the basic issue in terms of the Yerushalmi. Now, be it as it may, right? The Rif felt that there is a Yerushalmi that mentions Yishtabach, and if that's the case, it is Talmudic. Right? If Yishtabach is in the Gemara, so Baruch Shamar is also in the Gemara, probably, because they are a unit. The last point is what Rabbi Avram Gervitz mentions, which is as follows. He says, you know what? If you hold that the source of Psukei Dezimra is the Gemara and Brachas, first praise God and then daven and then ask for what you need. Praising God is Psukei Dezimra. Asking for what you need is Shemona Esrei. That would mean that you're not allowed to talk at all between Baruch Sha'amar and Shemona Esrei. Because, right, it's all the same unit. Baruch Sha'amar is leading up to Shemona Esrei. However, if you hold that the real source of Psukei Dezimra is just the Gemara in Shabbos, right, that you should praise God every day, so it's not necessarily connected to the Shemona Esrei, and then maybe there's no prohibition to talk between Yishtabach and Yotzer, like we mentioned earlier. Or the prohibition to talk is a lower level prohibition. So, these are some of the issues we wanted to discuss. Thank you for listening. Right. Even Shulchan Aruch says that it's also to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Shkoyach.